Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 13th of August. I'm Paul White. It's Tuesday. That means it's Tuesday night Bible study in Flowery Branch, Georgia. If you're in the North Georgia area, come join us. If you're not, and that's most of you, then you can join us live on my personal Facebook page. If you can't do that, you can catch it later on Facebook. We leave it up. And then the edited version, and by edited, I don't mean we cut stuff. I mean we improve the audio. We use the we tweak the audio a little bit, trim the front and back, put graphics and things up. We put the camera up to where you can see what's happening on screen. That way, if you watch on YouTube, you can follow along. We don't have to put a ton of graphics on the screen. Anyway, that's all available by Wednesday. And we are on the 51st lesson in the book of John, and we are in the middle of the 8th chapter. And so join us for that study. We would love to have you become a part of it, and it costs you nothing but a little time, and hopefully what you get out of your time is fresh bread. You get to eat a little bit, and your soul and your spirit man gets to be at rest. We've been releasing people, doing our best to release people from condemnation, as Jesus did the woman caught in the act of adultery. Woman, where are those accusers? Well, there are none, Lord. Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And hopefully you are feeling released, feeling liberated, feeling washed. That picks up the word we used yesterday from 1 Corinthians 6:11. We're journeying through Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and we are in that 11th verse, "And such were some of you." We gave a podcast to that phrase, "and such were some of you." Build people up with, not with what they're doing, but what they are, who they are, and contrast it to who they used to be. That's the benefit of remembering who you used to be, is so that you don't have to live there any longer. And then yesterday, "but you were washed," and what that looks like, we took you to Hebrews chapter 10, talked about being washed, our souls washed over from an evil conscience. And the next one, Paul says, is "you were sanctified." I want to show, this is my real focus on today's podcast. Think of sanctified as its original translation, set apart or set aside. Sanctified, set aside, okay? That was always an easy way for me to remember it. Sanctified starts with an S, set aside starts with an S, and they rhyme. Sanctified, set aside. However, they're truly closer to the word holiness. In fact, in most situations in the New Testament, what is translated as sanctified is also translated as holy. It could have made just as much sense. Actually, it would have shifted some theology a little bit, but it makes as much sense to say, "such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were holy, but you were justified in the name of the Lord." We don't like to think of it in those terms sometimes because most people in the church, and most might be the wrong word, but I'll stick with it. Most people in the church think of holiness as a current standing, not a permanent standing. So we think of holy as something you do, not as something you are. And you need to start to think of holy as something you are, not as something you do. Simply because to be sanctified is to be set aside. To be holy is to be set aside. The more you know you're set aside, the more I think you'll live as someone set aside. The less you know you're set aside, the more apt you are to go under guilt, shame, condemnation, to set yourself aside. So you will feel as if you need to do in order to be, instead of know that you are so that you do. Think about that again. Let's phrase that a little differently. Rather than having a religion where you need to do things in order to receive things or do things in order to be declared things, like I need to do righteous to be righteous. No, you get rid of that. Start to take your righteousness as an act of God. You receive it by faith. Then you begin to do because you realize you are. Out of an awareness of what you are comes this lifestyle change. Why is Paul doing this in 1 Corinthians 6? Because this is sandwiched. I say sandwiched because the bread on one side is Christians suing Christians. You're better than that, so stop it. The bread on the other side, we're not there yet, but we're on our way, is don't you know that fornication joins you with what you sleep with? We ought to stop doing this. And I read this stuff for years and thought, why doesn't Paul just say, hey, it's a sin. Keep doing it. You're going to go to hell. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Stop it. Why go through all of this? Why go through this rigmarole of such were some of you, but here's what you are, but here's what you are, but here's what you are? Why don't you just say to them, hey, I'm going to ignore what all this theological stuff. I'm just going to tell you, stop it. Because that's kind of the church environment I came up in. A lot of you did too. You people doing things wrong. And it wasn't like the preacher would get up and say, listen, you guys are righteous. You guys are sanctified. You guys are justified. You guys are holy. You ought to go live like it. No, I didn't hear much of that. I heard, here's what you did. Here's what you did. Here's what you're doing. Here's what you want to do. You better stop it. And there was I was going to say what was insinuated, but it wasn't always insinuated. Sometimes it was flat out stated. But what was flat out stated / simulated was insinuated was if you keep this up, you're going to bust hell wide open. And we're talking to believers. This is why when I went into ministry, you tried to get everybody saved every week, even though they're already believers, but you didn't bring that up. You just tried to get them to rededicate. Some of you need to get up here and rededicate your life to the Lord because you know you've lived wrong this week. You know you've been pitiful. And listen, there is definitely something to be said for recognizing you're doing stupid things and then going to the Lord to stop them. Well, yes, we want that. I mean, if I'm living pitiful example of the faith, I want to go to the Father and say, Father, this junk's got to end. But I don't believe that by attacking and addressing what I'm doing, I'm made righteous. And that's the failure of performance-based religion. It refuses, this is really it, I think, in a nutshell. Performance-based religion refuses to preach 1 Corinthians 6:11. It refuses to look at sinning Christians and say, you're better than that. You're actually washed. You're actually sanctified. You're actually justified. You're actually set aside, so live like it. Performance-based Christianity refuses to preach it that way. Instead, it preaches it, stop doing the stuff and you'll be what you're supposed to be. And I know this because coming up through Pentecost, holiness was what you did, was what you wore, what you said, what you watched, what you listened to, where you went, what you did. If you didn't do, say, wear, watch, or if you did the wrong things, you weren't holy. It's all there is to it. Cut and dry. Right and wrong. And we got to be careful with that whole cut and dry, right and wrong bit, because a lot of times what it does is it closes us off to listening. And a lot of us were closed off to listening to grace because we wouldn't listen to anything that didn't meet our narrative. And so we got to be careful about that. We go on with this one more day tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.